reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St.
Luke.
Let us attend. The Lord said this parable. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, forgive me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'"
Glory to thee, O Lord. Glory to thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. We have opened the Lenten Triodion. We opened it last Sunday with the Gospel of the Publican and the Pharisee. We've rounded the bend. We've come through the fast free week. And now the royal gates of the fast are on the horizon before us in full view. And we are drawing near to them quickly. Our destination is Golgotha, outside the city, to see the final, the consummate, the perfect theophany, the manifestation of God. That theophany is God crucified. For it is the testimony of the Church's sacred scriptures that this Jesus, who was publicly portrayed as crucified, who was crucified, is the very effulgence of the Father's glory is the very character of the Father's person. By this Jesus the world was created. This Jesus is he who upholds the universe by his power. And the power by which he upholds the universe is hidden, if you will, in this final theophany. He upholds the world by the power that is in his outstretched arms on the cross. This Jesus who is crucified on the cross, in other words, is the true and living God. We see him who was in the form of God and who thought it not robbery to be equal to God. We see him suffering, and we see him die. We see him dying on the cross as a man. For he so loved the world that he emptied himself. He wanted to share with us in our flesh and blood and to become our brother, even to the point of partaking of our death by dying from crucifixion on the cross. In other words, the destination of our Lenten journey is this vision of foolishness. God dead on the cross. This is not a man joined to God. This is God in the flesh. So that we say the one who died on the cross was God. This is God dead on the cross. Utter foolishness. This is God who was laid dead and buried as a corpse in a tomb. Absolute nonsense. What does it all mean? What does it mean that God became flesh, that he endured the cross, and what is most foolish, what does it mean that God died? God died. To the Jews, the Lord repeated what he had said to the psalmist. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High. Our holy fathers teach us that here the Lord is speaking to our true nature and destiny. Man alone of all the creatures was created in the image and likeness of God. From this, says the Athenite Archimandrite George of blessed memory, from this we discover the great love the triune God has for man. He does not wish him simply to be a being with certain gifts and qualities, possessing a certain superiority over the rest of creation. He wishes him to be a God by grace. Those who receive Christ, says the evangelist John, are born from above, and they become children of God. They become gods. They become gods. Because, as St. Paul says, it is no longer they who live, but it's Christ in his Holy Spirit who lives in them and who makes them to be partakers of the divine nature. As St. Peter says, to become gods, become children of the Most High, we call it deification or theosis or glorification. This is the purpose of man. It means that it was predestined from the beginning that God would become man so that man might become God. Here is the great mystery in which and for which the world was created. Hidden from the ages, it was not made manifest, it was not unveiled, and even then it remained veiled to those who did not receive him. But it was not made manifest until the Lord came in the flesh. And then it was made manifest to the Lord's saints. In other words, to those who receive him and who become members of his body, the church. And this mystery of Christ, this mystery that was hidden from the ages, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the purpose of our creation. That Christ might be in you. The Archimandrite says, That image of God in which we were created is much more than certain gifts and qualities. Drawing from St. Didymus the Blind of Alexandria, who lived in the 4th century, that image in which we were created is the capacity to receive God and to be born again, or rather to be born from above, to become one with God as a child of God, a partaker of the divine nature, a God by grace. And so received by the most blessed Virgin Theotokos, God was conceived in her womb as a male child. Because he became flesh and blood like us, we can become children of God in his image and likeness. Christ in you, the Lord Jesus Christ is now in the world in his holy church, which is his body. And in his holy church, he gives himself to those who receive him. And he gives himself to them not just in words, not in the words of his teaching. If that were all, then he would be but a messenger. And there would have been no point for him to become flesh or to die on the cross. And we could not become children of God. We could not become gods by grace. But rather he gives himself to those who receive him. He gives himself to them in the sacramental mysteries of the church. In the living bread and the living cup, he becomes our food and drink, so that our body is united and mingled with his body. He is received into our mind, our soul, our body, as a divine seed, not unlike his being received by the Holy Theotokos. So that if we obey his word that is now in us as his body and blood, if we obey his word and live according to it, we become temples of the Holy Spirit, and even more, we become members of his body, children of God, sons of the Most High, like him, in his image and likeness. This explains why we see God in the flesh. If he does not become flesh, we cannot become gods, sons of the Most High, and so we cannot attain the meaning of our existence. But why do we see God in the flesh suffering and dying on the cross? Why do we see him buried as a corpse in the tomb? Again, the Archimandrite George of blessed memory says, Adam and Eve desired to become gods, not through humility, obedience, or love, but through their own willfulness. In other words, the essence of the fall, says the Archimandrite, is egotism and self-assertion. Thus they separated themselves from God, and instead of attaining theosis, they attained the opposite. That the Archimandrite says they attained spiritual death. Other fathers would add, they attained likeness to the devil. Therefore, if we would receive God to become one with him, we must be crucified with him in order to put to death what is earthly in us. And what's earthly in us is not our body. For our bodies were made to be temples of God, radiant with his glory. What is earthly in us is that in us which is not like God. It's our egotism, our willful self-esteem. I believe actually that our egotism is what is meant by St. Paul's imagery of the harlot in this morning's epistle, and of the word, what in Greek it's porneia, translated in some Bibles as fornication. I believe I heard it translated this morning as sexual immorality. This is prophetic imagery for the worship of idols, or rather of the demons who present themselves to us in the idols. So that when we give in to lust, for example, we are sacrificing to the goddess Aphrodite by worshiping her idol, the flesh. When we give in to greed, we are giving ourselves We are worshiping Pluto and the idol of money. When we give ourselves to anger, we are sacrificing to Ares and to his idol, anger, and so on. So that giving in to the passions, we are sacrificing to the demons. When we act out the passions, when we give in to them and act them out, we are eating the sacrificial meat that is offered to those idols. And so we are turning away in our heart from our true bridegroom, the Lord God, who gave himself to us as our food and drink, that we might become one flesh with him, and instead we become one flesh with the demons, to whom we give ourselves by worshiping and sacrificing to their idols. Sexual immorality for St. Paul, then, I believe, comprehends much more than what we understand by sexual immorality. It certainly includes sexual immorality, most certainly, but it includes much more than that. It is a metaphor for the worship of idols because when we give ourselves to the things of the world and to the passions that move in us, we are giving our erotic love over to the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we are doing so. We are giving our erotic love to these things at the point where our erotic desire originates in our heart. Self-love, so our holy fathers teach us, is expressed in two fundamental ways: through gluttony, the love of food, and not even just eating too much. Gluttony is also being rather persnickety in one's tastes, and I am the glutton of all gluttons. My tastes are very narrow, what I like and what I'll eat. And the second way that self-love is expressed is through spiritual pride. We call it prelest, in which we are so quick to judge our brother. Understanding sexual immorality in this prophetic way, we begin to see in this morning's gospel that not only is the prodigal playing the harlot, but rather the elder brother is too. He too is a prodigal. Because neither the prodigal nor the elder brother is found in the Father's house, which for us would be an image this morning of the tomb of our heart. And I found it interesting as I was reading it just this morning, just reading it just now, it hit me. The elder brother was making his way to the Father's house, and then he heard the feasting, the sounds of the partying, and that's when he became angry. It's as though to say, the closer we get, you know, when you take up the ascetic discipline of the cross, and you turn around and begin going into the wilderness of your soul, and begin making your way to the tomb of your heart, be careful. Your prelest, spiritual pride, draws nearer and nearer to you as you draw nearer to the tomb of your heart. It'd be very quickly and easy for us, as we draw near to the tomb of our heart, for us to become spiritually proud, and in that pride we begin to judge our brother. We who consider ourselves the faithful most likely do not see our reflection in the mirror of the younger brother. So more likely we are in danger of being the elder brother, of falling into sexual immorality, which takes the form of self, or falling into self-love, that takes the form of sexual immorality in the form of self-righteousness, prelest. But whether we are the younger or the elder brother, we cannot come into the Father's house. We cannot reach the destination of our Lenten journey, which is the tomb of our heart, without crucifying what is not in the image and likeness of God in us. our willful self-love, our egotism, our spiritual pride. This is at the root of all that is earthly in us. And this is what we are crucifying. This is what we are putting to death by taking up the cross of the great fast. So our purpose in taking up the great fast is not to abstain from meat and dairy. So that if you've come to the end of the 6 weeks and you have been successful in abstaining from meat and dairy, it means nothing. Sorry, but it means nothing. We take up the fast. We refrain from meat and dairy according to our strength and according to our circumstances because it is the means to an end, which is to put to death, to crucify our self-love, and to unite ourselves to Christ in the likeness of his death, so that we may become one flesh with him in the tomb of our heart, which we enter on Pascha night, transfigured to our joy, into the heavenly bridal chamber, where we who died with Christ are raised with him, born from above as gods, children of the Most High, partakers of the divine nature in Holy Eucharist, in the love of God that abides forever. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to God.